Let's give all our staff a hand. Currently suffering a setback due to our income dropping, and they're still working as hard, if not harder. So let's give them another hand for their faithfulness. So I want to just, while Emma was talking, just show you what we're expected as income. For those of you who weren't here last week, we did a survey of all our people in our church and where they live, and we conducted an Australian Bureau of Statistics, which was back in 2016. Income has actually gone up since 2016 per household, but we just took this as a bit of a what we think to be about right. And as you can see, for Fremantle, our income, tithe income, should be around about $700,000. We're looking to receive at the end of this year. Currently, and I checked this on week 19 last week before, and it's still about the same, $250,000. So we're quite a little bit behind where we should be as a tithing church. And even if we got it a little bit wrong, who would say that, you know, it does need to come up a little bit. It's certainly not where it needs to be. And Wellard, well, Wellard's a bit of a similar situation. We're looking to get about $200,000 for Wellard per household in tithe income. And it looks like we're going to come in about $50,000 for Wellard as well. So we've got this massive deficit of one church in two locations, and it's starting to affect the way that we run our church. I want to say, just as a way to start, thank you for all those this week that have sent me messages of any description saying, I thank you for your leadership, Pastor Nigel and Andrea. Thank you. You guys can take a seat. You guys can take a seat. We're going to take up our offering at the end of the meeting. Thanks, music team. Don't they do a good job? So thank you for all those that have sent me. I think I've had more response. I want to thank those who have given a gift of any description, however large or small, in the last week or so. I want to thank those who have taken a step of obedience toward God to start the 90-day challenge. We already have nine people or nine families saying, I want to be a part of the challenge. And I want to thank all those people who are faithful to the Lord in supporting this church over the last however many years you've been here. Because without you, this church wouldn't be as phenomenal as it is. So God bless you. I love you. Andrew and I love you, and our desire is for you to rise up financially. We want you to live in faith toward Jesus, just like in any other area of our Christian living. And with Jesus in control, my goodness, the freedom that comes. So whether or not you receive his blessing, in my mind, is inconsequential compared to the joy of living for him, knowing he has given his all for you. Now, that said, his word does say that he will pour blessing into your life, and we've heard many testimonies already of that he will do that. But we shouldn't live for the blessing alone, right? We should live because we're grateful for what Jesus has already done for us. Okay, so let's get on with the message this morning. A little bit of a review. We can take the graph down. Thanks, Dave and the AV team. Let's give them a hand. What an awesome job they do. All right, so I want to ask a question. Is it ethical, is it fair that some people should shoulder the responsibility of the church while others simply take? God has a fair system. And so, Does God accept everyone that comes to church? Well, I think that's easy to answer. The parable, just bring them in. Anyone can come. And we're not going to judge you if you tithe or you don't tithe, but there must come a point in time where you want to grow in God as Christians. And so everyone's welcome in the house of God. But I'm speaking today on this subject because my desire is for you to grow in the love of God and you're getting closer to Him. And one of the ways that happens is definitely through the tithing principle. And so I would love for every person in our church to have a testimony like Angel's. And Angel, because of her language, she talked to me about this. She actually did tithe again that following week. She was saying that she gave anyway. And then that blessing came on her life from her, I think it was her mother-in-law. So my desire is that you appreciate how good God is. And my desire is that regardless of your income, you will know the complete security and trust that you have in Jesus as you apply this principle to your life. Faith is acting before you see. Faith is doing something that appears difficult to you. I'm getting waves from the back, it's all good. Faith is doing something that appears difficult to you at the start, and then the freedom follows. Is that right? And so I'm speaking to you about this subject also because Jesus loves His church. And so last week we had a review and we looked at Malachi 3, 6 to 11. I just want to bring up one verse from verse 7 in the New King James Version. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances, you have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? How are we to return? How do we return to God in this particular context? Through paying our tithe into the local church that we belong to. And the Message Bible says this: you ask, but how are we to return? Begin by being honest. Do honest people rob God? But you rob me day after day. You ask how? In the tithe and offering. Do you believe that God wants ample provision in His church? Come on. And if you believe that, do you believe that you have a responsibility to bring income to His church so that it is successful because, of number one, you love Jesus? So the only way to receive God's supernatural power into your finances is through the tithe first. That's why we're doing this 90-day challenge. And we'll have you, if you'd like to take part of that challenge, fill the card in before we take up our offering at the end of this meeting. And so, as Emma said, we're simultaneously running Wealth with Purpose through all our Connect groups because it's our desire to help you to steward your finances well. Who'd like to budget better? Come on. We are giving you tools to help you with every part of your financial life. And so once we have a great pattern in honouring God through the tithe, then we can invest and create wealth and further prove that God is a blessing in our life because we've got all the other principles right too. But first, we've got to start with the tithe. So the bottom line is we've got to give back to God what God says is His. And so the first principle is an important one. So let's watch a video now from Barry and Michelle.
My parents always taught us just to tie that little bit of our pocket money in. It's a principle that I've always sort of just done. And then I became an adult and started working. So yeah, it's tied. That's why the Bible says so.
And for me, like, I've just been challenged the last 2 years especially. Heard a message where the gentleman who was giving the message said, you know, God requires 10% from us, and that's the requirement. But generosity starts at 11% or more. And so the personal challenge that I've basically placed on my life for the last 2 years is I want to be generous, and 10% is a given, but I really feel as a family that we need to make sure we always in the 11% or more region and continuously trying to challenge the upper limits of where we give. Not even 2 years ago, I was in debt up to $30,000, and currently we only owe $1,000. That's been an amazing testimony of God's faithfulness to us. And in that, during that time, we had a wedding where we had people come from overseas and about 60 members. So I mean, we managed to not only get married, move Michelle across to a new state, and do all these things, and just God's just blessed us. We almost get free.
And for me, I've always seemed to have had work. I've never sort of been out of work for too long. I think that's a big thing for me. I've always sort of, you know, had something to go into, and that's just God's provision, I think.
My whole life, I've just experienced that. I've never been gone hungry, even in times when maybe work wasn't the best. God always made sure that there was food on the table, and always looked after us, and always looked after me. So I think that's a testament to God's faithfulness. As we've given what we can, He needs us, and makes sure that all our needs are met. There's the temptation when times are going hard and when things are getting difficult, that it's like, oh, we can just cut God out and then we have an extra 10% to see through the month. If you cut God out and you're stingy with God, then you might also see the things around you start to get stingy. You start cutting off blessing, you start cutting off favor and opportunities. And so I think when you go through hard times, it's to remember all the good things that God has done in the past, but it's also to hold on to what good things we have.
Incredible. And I can tell you today that that debt has been completely wiped now, and the person responsible is here with us this morning. Good to see you, Henty. Fantastic. So you're debt-free now, right? There they are. Fantastic. Awesome stuff. God's good, hey? So the tithing challenge. Let me talk to you about the tithing challenge, because that's what we're on about. We're not on about it. We're kind of like, we want to obey the Lord. We want to obey God. And so, yet from the days of my fathers, you've gone away from my ordinances. It said in verse 7, which I introduced my message this morning already. I looked this up. An ordinance is a principle of ordinary behavior. You have gone away from one of my principles of ordinary behavior. A preacher did not make this up one day because he wasn't getting paid. That was a joke. This is God Himself speaking. The God who can't change. You have gone away from one of my ordinary principles of behavior. Tithing is an ordinary principle of behavior for God's people to thank God for their increase, to thank God for their salary, to thank God for their income, however it comes, to thank God for the government if the government pays you. What a blessed country we live in. To thank God for their harvest. If there's farmers in the community this morning, and if you are a farmer, as in Israel, that's mostly what they were talking about when they were referring to the tithe, and so we may have time to look at that a bit later. Because you've gone away from my ordinary principles, you are under a curse now. Christians can't be under a curse. Christ bore our sins on the cross. Yes, that's about our salvation. But if you are saying as a Christian you can live any way you want to, does anybody really believe they can live any way they want to? Do you think you'd do a bit of harm to somebody else? Is it the same with a tithe? If you steal, are there going to be consequences? A curse is a consequence. What if you steal from God? But the Lord owns it all. Yeah, that's true. But He gives us stewardship over all of it. And He reserves 10% for Himself. And God is clear on this. He says, I've reserved the tithe for my house, so if you keep it, you are stealing it. And it also says in Joshua 7, actually, it talks about this, that Achan actually hid something, and they were meant to actually take more territory, more land. And Achan had hid quite a bit of what was reserved for the Lord's. And Israel actually did very poorly. And it was only a small group of people that they were meant to overcome and take more territory. And they failed miserably and ran for their lives. And Achan made this comment to Joshua, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And so Joshua and his men should have taken the territory, but instead they fled for their lives. Let me ask you another question. Do you desire for your church to overcome its adversaries and take more ground? Do you desire to see more souls in the kingdom of God? Do you desire to see more young people in his house? Danny and Reese, you had what, 52 people? 52 young people, is that right? 44? Let's just call it 50. Because of the rain, some of them piked out. 44 kids! Some of them don't come to church yet. Would you like to see them actually live a godly life? How do we pay for the buses to get them to the youth? So I don't want anyone to be placed under a... Do you really want to place yourself under a voluntary curse by going away from God's principles? Do you really want to stop or neutralize the effectiveness of the local church? You owe him everything. Everything. And you will receive God's blessing as you become a gracious giver. And the tithe is a Hebrew word. We talked about this last week. It means a tenth. All right, just as a way of... some of you may not have been here last week. I did a little short quiz. I've got a longer one for you. The answers are almost the same, if not the same. I'm just giving you some clues before we start the quiz. How many plagues were there in Egypt against Pharaoh? 10. There might be a pattern here, just developing. How many commandments are there? 10. You may not know this one. But in Numbers 14, how many times did God test Israel in the wilderness? How many times were Jacob's wages changed? How many days was Daniel tested? Come on, a bit louder. I can't hear you all. How many virgins were tested in Matthew 5? 25, sorry. How many days of testing were there in Revelation? How many disciples are there? Gold star for the man up the front who said 12. Everyone else, I was only joking. Tithing is a two-way test. It's the only place in Scripture that I can see where God says, test me. Are you up for this challenge? The word test in the Hebrew refers to the way you would test gold to see if it was pure. And so God is saying, challenge me, test me to see if I am pure. I want you to test me. I want you to test me so that I will rebuke the devourer over your life. Oh my goodness. You see, God's saying, I want to guard your finances. I want to bless your life, but it depends on whether you're going to thank him, whether you're going to worship me and walk in faith, whether you are going to believe that the 90% with God's blessing will go further than the 100% without it. And so, yes, but isn't tithing under the law? I have this quite a bit as a pastor for the last, I think it's been 22 years in ministry. tithing was actually before the law, and it was also after the law, and it is in the New Testament. And the point is this: there are principles that were under the law that we should still walk in today as believers. Do not commit adultery. because we are no longer under the law, should we do what we like now? Oh, she's nice. Off I go. Do not make idols of any kind. Is it okay for believers to go to India or Indonesia and bow down to an idol? Is it okay to have a fat Buddha in your front garden to bring some kind of peace into your life? Remember to keep the Sabbath by keeping it holy. Should we go to church only when we feel like it? Worship when we feel like it. Or, I better go to church today because I have a need. Barry, where are you? Can I have your wallet, please, mate? Thanks very much. You haven't got much money in here. $25. Thanks. Oh, you got any other nice cards, actually? Oh, I don't want your credit card. I'd like to be able to pay Barry again for what he's worth. Is it all right that I keep Barry's money? Actually, I didn't need to go to lunch afterwards. That at least buy a roll, won't it? It's foolish, right? It's foolish. Thanks, Barry. You can have your money back. And you're welcome. All right, tithing's biblical. Come with me to Genesis 14. I think we've got it on the screen, actually. Verse 18 to 20. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram," or Abraham, "of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And the last verse says, "And he gave him a tithe of all." All right, so Melchizedek is the king of Salem, which means peace. He had communion with Abraham. And in verse 20, the Bible says, Abraham gave him a tenth of all. And this passage of Scripture is about 500 years before the law. We know that from the book of Galatians that Abraham is our spiritual father. We too know that Melchizedek is a type of Christ, and that many scholars believe that it's actually Jesus that Abraham is giving to. And the reason for this is that it actually says in the Bible that Melchizedek has no genealogy. And in Hebrews, it states that Melchizedek has no beginning of days nor end of days. And so our spiritual father Abraham tithes to Christ 500 years before the law. It's a principle. In Genesis 28, 400 years before the law, Jacob made a vow, all that you give me, he's talking to God, all that you give me, I will give you a tenth back. And Jacob was recognizing the importance of God's house. You can look it up at your own time, Genesis 28. And surely this, he says, surely this is an awesome place. Does anybody believe that the house of God is an awesome place? Does anybody believe that there are miracles through being and belonging to the house of God? And so Jacob said to God, all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. If you are keeping what is set apart for his house, you are stealing it. And all the tithe in Leviticus 27, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed, of the land, of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's holy to the Lord. Proverbs says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of all your income. And Deuteronomy 26, it says, the Bible says to bring all the tithe into his church. In verse 14 of that same chapter, do not use some of the tithe. He says, "Do not. I will not use some of the tithe when I get into difficult times." And in verse 15, he calls on the Lord and he says, "I thank you that because I tithe, I can ask you directly that you will bless me, that you will bring blessing onto my life, that you are the God that brings blessing. And even if I have difficult times, I know that this circumstance will change because you are my God, you are my Father, and I will worship you because you are my first love. You're not a leftover." And so Jesus said, you should tithe. Our board member, Greg Moore, talked about this a few weeks ago. So the one who bled and died on the cross for you, he said to give your tenth, your 10%, your $10 in every hundred. So if Jesus said that you ought to tithe in the New Testament and that it was written in red. Some of you don't use a normal Bible anymore, but it's written in red for those young people in the room. That means when I was growing up, it was like, it's Jesus' words. It's really important. Or I'm having a bit of fun with you. But Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. Those you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. And so Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, you guys not only give tithes of your 10%, but also of the spices you put on your food, but you have neglected justice and mercy. And Jesus then said, you ought to do the justice and mercy and all the loving stuff that you don't do, but don't leave the other undone. And so Jesus is saying in the New Testament, in red, without leaving the other undone. In other words, Jesus is saying you ought to do that and that too. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament also has a link to Jesus. In Hebrews 7 verse 8, here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Here in the local church, the pastor received the tithe and look after the ministry of the church that you belong to. But there he receives them. Who's there? Who's he? The answer is given in the rest of the verse. Of whom it is witnessed that he lives, Jesus receives our tithes. You have to plan to tithe. And that's why we want to help you with the Wealth with Purpose material, but also with a 90-day challenge. Look at this verse. I've used the Living Bible because I think it makes a lot more sense. On every Lord's Day, each of you should put aside something from what you have earned during the week and use it for this offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you to earn. Has anyone earned anything this week? Has anyone earned anything this week? Bring it into the storehouse. What's that? The church. And so 1 Corinthians 16:2 says that we should lay something aside from which we have earned, proportionate to our economic status. Who thinks that's fair? And that on every Lord's Day, we should use it for his purpose. You have to plan to do it. And this is why we're initiating the 90-day challenge. And this is why we have direct debit. This is why we have buckets in church. This is why we have FPOS. This is why you can give online. Whichever plan works for you, we've made it happen for you. However you give it in heaven, he receives it. Jesus Christ receives my tithes. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thirdly, tithing is a blessing. Tithing is a... There's a really interesting story in 2 Chronicles 31. And Hezekiah is reading scriptures like many that we have read today. And they were struggling. All of Israel was struggling. They were having a hard time. And he looks at the scriptures and he says, "We're not tithing. That's why we're not doing very well. We're not tithing." And so he starts a new decree, a new law, and he says from this particular, he sends letters out and he says, "From this particular day, we are all going to bring a tithe of our increase into the storehouse." That is, they were all farmers, so they brought in their grain, or they brought in their some of them probably brought in wine. They brought in all the things that they, figs and all these things, and they brought them into the storehouse, which was the house of God. Now, there were two harvests before Hezekiah the king came and actually came to inspect what was going on after he had set this law in place, this decree. And so he rocks up to the priest in charge, Zadok, I think his name was, and he says, "So how's it going?" Oh, king, you would not believe how good it has been since you've said that we should bring the tithe into the storehouse of God. And so he's, would you like to see? And so the king goes to the piles and piles and piles of the 10% that the people had given. And the king turns to the priest and says, "Are the people okay?" And the priest says, "Oh, this is only the 10%. You should see their 90%. Tithing is a blessing. There's a very similar passage in Galatians 6. "Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of God." In Malachi it says, because that's the challenge that we're having these 3 weeks, in Malachi it says, "Bring the tithe that there may be food in my house." That there may be food in my house. Now, I'm certain this is talking about not just physical food, but spiritual food. Because it's always, whether Old Testament, New Testament, they were to honour the priests, the people that brought the Word of God. The people that make the administration of church happen. So when you come to church, let me ask a couple of questions. Do you enjoy the spiritual food that you get? Do you enjoy the relationships? That's food, right? Spiritual food. Who enjoys the relationships that they've got in church? Who enjoys the worship? Who enjoys the music? The lighting? The place for your kids to grow in God? I mean, some of you may even enjoy the preaching from time to time. Someone is paying for it. And the reality is that somebody is paying for all the things you enjoy. And those who are tithing are paying for it. It is a principle God established for his people from the time of Jacob before the law. Someone is paying for the utilities. Someone is paying for kids' church. Someone is paying for youth to hire the buses for those 50 kids to get up to the Friday night. Someone's paying for connect groups in events that we hold. Who'd like to never have an event again in church? Some people are helping pay our staff who attend to the teaching and administration. And this is probably the one that has grieved me the most. The people that are giving their all, that sacrifice so much of their time for you, are now missing out on being properly paid. Would any of you here go to a restaurant, eat a meal, then leave without paying for it? Maybe back in the old days you would have done that, but I'm just talking about today. None of us would do that. Some Christians do that every week. They go to church, eat a meal, slip out. And here's the sad thing, you're missing out. God wants to bless you. We have a history of being a great giving church. But it does seem to me that it is possible from our research that some are not placing their priority in loving the church in this way. Tithing will change your life. It's a principle that is so important for you, it will help you, and it's why we're committing to this challenge. You know, my mum was up on Mother's Day to our church here. And she came back to lunch with us. And I actually don't know how it came up. I certainly didn't bring it up. But mum was saying that her husband, now my father has been dead for 23 years. His name was Mont. Good old English name, Montague, but he hated Montague, so we called him Mont. So my dad used to be, and mum was saying, you know, Monty, as she used to affectionately call him, Monty was very clear with the tithe. She said, he'd say to Leslie, who's my mum, now Leslie, we tithe on our gross because we're not going to allow the government to give us a blessing. We're relying on our God. We're going to trust in our God, and so we're going to give our gross. Because isn't that really our income? Are we really going to trust God or are we going to trust something else? And I thought to myself, as a result of what Dad put into place, Andrew and I, we're tithing. It's not even an issue. We receive the blessing of God. We know it to be true. But more than that, I now see Jared tithing. I know his girlfriend tithes. One day, maybe, you know, little grandbabies. Well, straight away, what are they going to be doing? They're going to know it, right? It's a principle that sets us free. Sets us. No rush. All right. Let's just say, before we take up our offering, and if you need time, can you just please start to fill in this form right now, the 90-day challenge? There should be a pen and a piece of paper on every second chair. Please take the 90-day challenge and start to fill that in if you'd like to put God to the test over this period. So, Emma will be in touch with you, as she says. The most important thing is you put your full name, your email, and your mobile phone number, or your phone number if you don't have a mobile, so that we can set up this challenge for you. And we are trusting in the Word of God that God will be faithful to you. If you're filling in the challenge, please feel free just to keep writing that out. The rest of us, why don't we just pray while we're seated here for a moment? Oh, Lord God, I thank you that you died for us. And Lord, I know like many other people here, we are so grateful for what you've done for us on the cross. It's not even an arguing point. We're just so grateful. And so, Lord, today, I pray that the power and blessing of God would rest on all of us according to your word, Lord, and that we would see a great overflow back into our lives. And most of all, Lord, we do this because we love you and we want to see your church grow and prosper. We don't want to be a church that's just flopping along. We want to be a church that's extending and having power to affect our community. In Jesus' name. The people of God said, amen.